मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरो दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं हरे कृष्णा. सो वेलकम एवरीवन फॉर द लास्ट संडे फीस्ट ऑफ 2020. आई शुड से संडे क्लास बिकॉज फीस्ट ओनली वी कैन हैव द वंस हु आर हियर. व्हाट इज दैट? ओके, फीस्ट फॉर द इयर्स, बट सिंस इट्स माय क्लास आई कैन नॉट से दैट. Yes, so welcome everyone for this last Sunday class or last Sunday feast of 2020. How this entire year 2020 went off, sitting in the same place, locked down for many months together. A very nice verse today we have for discussion, and so many things Prabhupada has given here, and he elaborates all that in Nectar of Devotion. So this is a section which we are seeing where Lord Shiva is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is glorifying his devotees and is glorifying the process of bhakti. And here, Lord Shiva is very clearly mentioning about some wonderful aspects about learned person. My dear Lord, any learned person knows that unless he worships you, his entire life is spoiled. Knowing this, how could he give up worshipping your lotus feet? Even our father and spiritual master, Lord Brahma, unhesitatingly worshipped you, and the 14 Manus followed in his footsteps. So here, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that who is a learned person? So a learned person is the one who understands the importance of this human form of life, and he always thinks that life is wasted unless they worship Lord Krishna or become his devotee. So when I read this line, I remembered Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan. Hari Hari Bifale Janma Gunayinu. In devotee circle, it's very nice. No? We chant the holy names of the Lord in every situation. When something good happens, Hari Bol, Hari Hari. And we have heard devotees saying, Prabhu ji, uska hari bol ho gaya. And when, you know, something wrong happens or, you know, some mishap, and devotees are sharing, and we say, oh, hari hari, you know, it shouldn't have happened. So here, Narottam Das Thakur is not in ecstasy. He is saying, hari hari, you know, bifale janma guna, you know, I wasted my entire life. Why is he saying so? The next line he says, Manushya janama paya Radha Krishna na bhajiya Janiya shoniya vesha kaino. So here Narottam Das Thakur is saying, Manushya janama paya Radha Krishna na bhajiya. I've got this rare human form, but then, you know, I wasted it because I have not worshipped Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And then he is considering that to be a suicide. Janiya shunya visha khayinu. I have heard about it, I knew about it, but knowingly, no, I have drank poison. Very intense bhajan this is. Hari Hari Bifale Janma Gunayinu. Srila Prabhupada would be chanting this in one of his favorite bhajans. So here we understand the mood of a devotee, a learned person. Now, Prabhupada's unique way of presenting in his purports, he'll be talking about only pure devotees, but different words like learned person, advanced person, and things like that. But then, you know, after spending some time in Krishna consciousness and reading purports, we'll understand Prabhupada is talking about a pure devotee. So here, it's very clear, a pure devotee always thinks that, you know, I wasted my entire life because I have not served the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his consort Srimati Radharani. In fact, which bhajan again? I guess Govinda Das or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, they are saying that, you know, I have not developed rati towards the lotus feet of the Lord, and I'm sure I have to encounter the Yamadutas and Yamaraj. These devotees are so intense in their mood, but still they feel, you know, that they have wasted their entire life. And that such a person is called as a learned person. who is very much keen about utilizing this human form in worshipping Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Here in this purport, Prabhupada is saying in the second paragraph that the line starts, learned persons, no, not this one. So Prabhupada describes about learned persons. He starts with learned persons always think that life is wasted unless they worship Lord Krishna or become his devotee. And then Prabhupada switches. So who is that learned person? An advanced devotee. So Srila Rupa Goswami also says that when one becomes an advanced devotee, and Prabhupada starts describing the qualities, characteristics of advanced devotee. So these characteristics are elaborated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the 9 characteristics of a pure devotee. And when we read these 9 characteristics, we will easily understand this cannot be imitated, not possible. Other things, you know, can be imitated in front of everyone, showing some ashtasattvic vikar here and there artificially, putting some glycerine and, you know, it can come. But then, when it comes to these characteristics which Rupa Goswami is mentioning, such a genius this person is, Rupa Goswami. Technically, he's putting forward the 9 characteristics of a pure devotee. And Prabhupada, when he's giving the purport, he's talking about how we sadhakas can, you know, get that qualities. Very amazingly, Prabhupada has put forward. So let's discuss this in next one hour or 1.5 hours. Let's try to discuss about these 9 characteristics of pure devotee. So I've just realigned or reshuffled. It's not in sequence. So we'll take one by one and we'll discuss. The first one is Nama Gane Sada Ruchihi. Now what is Nama Gane Sada Ruchi? Attachment to chanting the holy name. Now when it comes to pure devotee, no, they cannot stop chanting. They cannot stop chanting. Those are pure devotees. Like Rupa Goswami, he says, Tunde tandavini ratim vitanute tundavali labdhaye karna kroda kadambini gatayate karna budebhyasprahan chetaha prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim na jano janital Krishneti Varnadvai. This is the most torturing verse, I feel, for sadhakas. With a pure devotee saying that how much nectar is there in these 2 syllables, Krishna, Krishna. That when I hear this, Tunde Tandavini Ratim Vitanute, Tundavali Labdhaye, when I chant this, I feel like having thousands and thousands of mouths. And then he says, Karna Kroda Kadambini Gathayate Karna Budebhyaspraham. And when this word Krishna, when this holy name enters my ear, I feel like having thousands and thousands of ears. And then he says, Cheta Prangana Sangini Vijayate. And when it enters my heart, it captures my entire existence and I cannot do anything. Whenever I remember this shloka or chant this shloka, it feels... What is Rupa Goswami talking about? It's very difficult to understand. But this is what pure devotees feel. They cannot stop chanting. When Haridas Thakur was taken in front of the Mughal king, and he's saying that, no, you belong to our faith. What are you doing? Why are you chanting these names of Hindu God? And Haridas Thakur is like, what I can do? I'm not able to stop. They are pure devotees. Chanting 24/7. And Prabhupada also says, that if we want to remember Krishna at the time of death, one has to chant incessantly, 24/7. One has to be fully Krishna conscious. You can refer to the purport of 8.5. You know, Prabhupada talks about this very, very elaborately. Bhagavad Gita, yes. Bhagavad Gita, 8.5. So here, in this purport also, Prabhupada is talking about, one has to continue chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and preaching the chanting of this mantra, because such preaching and chanting constitute the perfection of life. One should chant and preach about the urgency of making this life perfect in all respects. So Prabhupada is very clear that one has to constantly, continuously, incessantly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because he does that. He has done that. He has shown by example. I remember our... Prabhupada's disappearance day when I was sitting and reading Prabhupada's pastime. One pastime which has stuck to my mind is when the milkman was delivering the milk to Srila Prabhupada every day. So one day, this milkman comes to deliver milk to Prabhupada, and the door was closed, and Prabhupada was chanting in Radha Damodar Mandir. Yes, in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar Mandir. This is not in New York or somewhere. This is Radha Damodar Mandir before going to West. So Prabhupada was sitting in his room in Radha Damodar Mandir, very, very small room. And he was chanting. The door was closed. So this Doodwala, he came, the milkman, he came. And then he called out for Swamiji. But then there was no response from inside. And then he slowly opened the door. And then he could see that this personality was so intensely chanting. And tears flowing from the eyes. And he's choked. He's choked. He's chanting with so much of intensity. And in that particular book we were reading, so that it's very clearly given that Prabhupada would do only two things. One is chanting or writing books. Only two business, nothing else. This is called Nama Gani Sadaruchi. Now all these nine characteristics, we'll try to discuss about Prabhupada. In every single characteristic, we'll see that Prabhupada, fits very, very nicely. He has followed that. And Prabhupada preached about 24/7 chanting, and he himself did it. Himself did it all the time. Even at the last breath. Bhakti Charu Maharaj's final class, he was mentioning very, very beautifully that he was serving Srila Prabhupada, and when Prabhupada was there in his final moments. So at that time, when Prabhupada opened his mouth to take some water, at that time his tongue was still vibrating the holy name. And one of the Gaudiya Math devotee, he pointed out saying, look at your spiritual master's tongue, it's still vibrating. This is called Nama Gani Sadaruchi. Cannot stop. Because there is so much of nectar in this. Unfortunately, we are not able to access this nectar because of our unfortunate situation of committing so many offenses. But then the day when someone gets the access to the nectar of the holy name and tastes the nectar, that person cannot stop chanting. One of the senior devotee was talking to me, and then he was asking, so are you able to chant 24/7? I said, probably that's very difficult. That devotee was saying, I don't understand how you're not able to chant. And I was thinking, how can I chant? What are you talking about? I was thinking like that in my mind. What are you talking about? How can you live without associating with Krishna even for a moment? This was a statement that was made. It was like a tight slap on my face that day. Yes, this is how these perfected devotees feel. This is the first one, Nama Gane Sadaruchi. That is attraction or attachment to the chanting of the holy name. Second one, Asaktistad Gunakhyane. Gunakhyane, yeah. Asaktistad Gunakhyane. Eagerness to describe Lord's transcendental qualities. So pure devotees, now they are very, very eager to describe the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Name, form, qualities, pastimes, and dham. They're always busy describing these five entities connected to the Lord. If we compare ourselves with the pure devotees, so pure devotees are busy describing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when it comes to Baddha Jivas, they are busy describing about themselves. You take up any interview, anything, they'll always speak about themselves. But you take any interview of Prabhupada, any interview. Even when an interviewer is asking Prabhupada, can you speak something about yourself? Yes, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that interview, this statement has to be there. Yes. And how many times Prabhupada uses the word Krishna in his lectures? Now, if you just count, every lecture, so many times he would use. And Prabhupada takes so much of pleasure in establishing the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Establishing the fact that bhakti is the topmost process to attain Krishna. And bhaktas are the topmost personalities available in this entire creation. This is what Prabhupada does throughout his lectures. Bhakti, bhakta and Bhagavan, just glorifying all of them. This is Prabhupada's mode. All the time describing, glorifying the Lord and taking so much of pleasure in doing that. This is Asakti Stad Gunakhyane. And obviously these first two we can just think of and pray to the Lord. Here Prabhupada didn't mention how to come to this level. In fact, Prabhupada has mentioned some verses of Krishna Karnamrita. I couldn't understand the head and tail of it, what he has mentioned. So he's directly put the translation of some verses. And it's very, very high level, where Srimati Radharani is describing something to gopis and gopis are talking to Srimati Radharani about, you know, these two qualities. So first one was, Nama Gane Sada Ruchi. And second, Asaktistad Gunakhyane. Third one, Preetistad Vasati Sthale. So Preetistad Vasati Sthale means attraction to the pastime places of the Lord. And Prabhupada mentions that they want to live in that place and they want to visit different places, especially Vrindavan. And he mentions that in Vrindavan, you know, they spend their time doing parikrama of different places. So we understand Vrindavan parikrama, Govardhan parikrama, and the temple parikramas, and Vrajamandal parikrama. It's all about parikrama. Chaurasi coast parikrama and then Mathura, Vrindavan together parikrama. They just keep doing parikrama throughout the year in some of the other occasions. Prabhupada might have seemingly externally, you know, he left Vrindavan. He left Vrindavan and then, you know, he went to West. But then this travel of Srila Prabhupada from India to West cannot separate him from Vrindavan. This is very clear, you know, from his lectures and from his personal diary. So I could, you know, hear this, you know, lecture. I should have made a note of it. You know, I was hearing this lecture where Prabhupada is describing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then it is a proper philosophical class that is going on, and Prabhupada is nicely hitting people, rascals, you fools, etc., etc. And in between, suddenly out of nowhere, Prabhupada says that my Vrindavan, Madan Mohan, Damodar, I don't know what am I doing here. Out of nowhere, suddenly these lines come. And I was shocked. What is Prabhupada saying? Even on Jaladuta, Prabhupada writes in his diary the separation that he's feeling from Vrindavan. Such people are actually Brajavasis. Where they're completely dipped in the mood of Vrindavan. And no one can separate them, you know, from Vrindavan. No one. This distance from Vrindavan to Boston, New York, this distance is nothing for them. They're always connected to Vrindavan. Tight connection. This is Preetistad Vasati Sthale. And we can see Prabhupada's attachment to Vrindavan. Prabhupada would say that Vrindavan is his home. And he chose that place, you know, to spend his last few moments. That is attachment to Vrindavan. Yes. So yes, Preetistad Vasati Sthale. So we can remember Prabhupada, you know, doing all the three. Nama Gane Sada Ruchi, Asaktistad Gunakhyane, Preetistad Vasati Sthale. Now the fourth one, Mana Shunyata, pridelessness. From this onwards, I think we can still think of implementing some of it in our life. First three are a bit difficult. Mana Shunyata, pridelessness. So this Prabhupada describes in Nectar of Devotion as, even after possessing all the realization and all the qualities of pure devotional service, the person is not proud at all. This is the description of Mana Shunyata that Prabhupada gives. And there he gives the example of Bhagirath Maharaj. So Bhagirath Maharaj, you know, he was the ruler of the entire world. But then, you know, when he retired, so he became a mendicant and he was going door to door to beg. He went to even his political enemies, even to people who are untouchables, even he went to all those people to beg. And there Prabhupada mentioned, this is called Mana Shunyata. This is called pridelessness. Even after being, you know, very elevated materially and spiritually, still the person does not consider himself to be elevated or qualified. This quality is very, very important, pridelessness. And pridelessness basically means humility. And it is very clearly described in Shastra that this dainyata, this humility, will actually attract, you know, the Bhakti Devi. The Bhakti will manifest in the heart of that person who has this dainya bhav. If dainyata is not there, you know, Bhakti cannot sustain in the heart. Not possible. We take any example in the past, in the history, all the devotees who have attained Krishna, they all were extremely dainya. They had so much of humility, so much of humility. And Krishna is attracted, you know, by dainyata. Krishna is not attracted by anything else. Now, what can he be attracted with or attracted by? He is Supreme Personality of Godhead who has got everything, everything. Only thing that can attract him is, you know, someone bowing down in front of him with humility. Yes. And this we see in Prabhupada's case. Now, externally in his classes, Prabhupada is so heavy, so heavy. But when it comes to, his pastimes, when we see the pastimes, the disciples will say that, Prabhupada, we have to go here for a session, for a class. Okay, chalo, let's go. Prabhupada would just go. He would not even ask, you know, which place, what, etc., etc. We were discussing, right, one pastime where they took Prabhupada and they went to a place and they were all only new people in front of him. So Prabhupada would not ask, what is the audience, where you are taking me. Only thing Prabhupada knows, I have to go and speak about Krishna. Once on the airport, when all the devotees were standing, I guess Prabhupada was traveling to some place or something like that. So many devotees were there and Prabhupada was there. And the temple president, he announced that all the devotees move on this side. And all the devotees moved and Prabhupada got up from his chair and then with a stick, he started moving. And then the temple president, he said, Prabhupada, I'm not telling you. And Prabhupada's like, huh? I'm not a devotee? Look at the founder Acharya of ISKCON. Temple president is saying, move here. And founder Acharya gets up from his place and he starts moving. Look at the humility of this person. And this is natural. It's not that Prabhupada is acting to show off to someone. It's naturally he's doing this. And in the initial days, oh, humility to the core. One bathroom will be there and so many devotees. And if Prabhupada visits that place, Prabhupada has to stand in the line. Now the etiquettes were not taught to the disciples at that time. Prabhupada would be standing somewhere and the devotees are still there. They're taking bath and coming out. And the height of everything is, you know, Prabhupada's clothes, which were dried, you know, on the lines in one of the temples. If I'm not wrong, South Africa.
Some place in Africa.
So the clothes were put for drying. I don't know if anyone would wash Prabhupada's clothes or he would be only washing. I don't know about that. But these clothes were put for drying. And Prabhupada next day, he wanted to wear those clothes. So he was seeing for them. It was not there. And then when Prabhupada sat for giving Bhagavatam class, obviously he wore a different set and he sat for a Bhagavatam class. And when he sat for Bhagavatam class, he could see that one person is wearing kurta, another person wears dhoti, another person is wearing uttari. And look at Prabhupada's humility. He says that very humbly, he says, one, the disciples shouldn't wear the clothes of spiritual master. Oh. This is humility of Srila Prabhupada. This is humility of Srila Prabhupada, where, you know, so many things he went through, but all the time he remained humble, you know, when it comes to his day-to-day dealings. And his another form of humility is, now, setting the right principle establishing the position of Supreme Personality of Godhead and the process of bhakti. Boldly he would be speaking. And the same thing he mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also. What is humility? Humility is boldly speaking about Krishna. That is humility. Yes. So in this way we see that mana shunyata, is one of the quality of a pure devotee. And to translate this to our life, it becomes very difficult to understand also that, sometimes when we become proud, and after that when we realize I was proud, then the question arises, what was I proud of? Only one nice thing which I heard. So devotees might be proud of doing nice kirtan, giving nice class, doing nice deity dressing, or cooking nicely. So here the devotee was mentioning, very beautifully he said, that just remove ISKCON from your life and then think about all this. Who will value you? Your lectures and your kirtans and your deity dressing. Who is going to see and who is going to praise and who is going to respect? It's only because we are in ISKCON. It's only because we have taken shelter of Krishna. It's only because we have shelter of Srila Prabhupada. We have all this, all glorification of devotees and this and that. And if we become proud of all that, then the devotee was mentioning that this is foolishness. Foolishness to become proud of ourselves, for which we are not eligible because everything is given by Krishna. Krishna Shakti Viran Aitara Pravartan. Without Shakti of Krishna, nothing is going to manifest. But if still, if we think that I am the one who is doing, then we qualify the definition which Krishna is giving. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ankara vimud atma. The definition of vimud atma. Yes, we qualify that very nicely. So this one point, if we can meditate on that, Krishna shakti viran aitara pravartan, it will actually help, help a lot, to remain prideless, at least for some time. At least for some time. So we have discussed four qualities. The first one was Namagani Sadaruchi, attachment to the holy name. Second, Pritistad Vasati Sthale, that is attraction and attachment to the pastime places of the Lord. Third, Pritistad Gunakhyane, that is attachment or attraction or eagerness to describe the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the fourth one is Mana Shunyata, pridelessness. Next one is Virakti, detachment. So this Virakti, Prabhupada describes, what is real Virakti, real detachment? Not having anything and saying I'm detached is not a big thing, Prabhupada says. Prabhupada says when a person is amidst all the allurements, but still when he is detached, now that is called as real detachment. This is what Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion. And there he gives the example of Bharat Maharaj. So Bharat Maharaj had everything. He was very young, and then he was ruling the entire world, and all the opulence and everything was there. But still, this personality, he was so detached. In no time he just gave it up, and then he went to forest in order to do his bhajan. This detachment is a very important aspect, because even if we are attached to one thing in this world, that one attachment will help us to stay in this world, lifetime after lifetime. One attachment. One attachment is enough to stay back in this material world, in this Dukkhalayam or Shashvatam. One attachment. So this detachment is very, very important. Virakti, very, very important. And Prabhupada makes it very clear in the section where he is describing Vastita Pragya in Bhagavad Gita. That verse of higher taste, 2.59. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasa varjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. In this particular verse, in the purport, Prabhupada writes that the one who has tasted the beauty of Lord Sri Krishna, he can never be attracted by the dead material things of this material world. Look at the statement what Prabhupada writes. One who has tasted the beauty of Lord Krishna. This is the reason that pure devotees, they are not allured by anything. Gross material things or the subtler aspect, that is the subtle lust, pujala pratishta, they are not attracted by anything. Why? Santa sadai vardayeshu vilokayanti. They are always in the heart. They are taking darshan of Lord Sri Krishna all the time. And anyone who takes darshan of Lord Sri Krishna, very clearly the Shastras describe that he cannot see anything much better than the beautiful form of the Lord. So that's what Prabhupada says, that anyone who has tasted the beauty of Lord Sri Krishna, now that person, he will not be attracted to anything of this material world. There cannot exist any attachment to this material world, he says. See, this developing higher taste is very, very important. I was just meditating on this when I was making notes. So, with time, our black hair will become white, and our many devotees might have nice, shiny skin, then a lot of wrinkles will come. And the healthy body, strong body, will become very weak. And finally, towards the end of life, everyone has to go through that phase. But I always wonder, whenever I think about this, I always wonder how much ignorance I am in. That even when we see so many people becoming old, but still, that urgency factor we don't feel. And here, when we become old, when we are bedridden, suppose we become old and die. In fact, in North, I've heard that these blessings are given. Ki bude hoke maro. At least, you live for long. That's what it's told. So suppose if we have a natural death and we live for, say, 60, 70, 80 years, whatever. And obviously, if that is the lifespan, then towards the end, one has to be bedridden because the body will not work. So on the bed, in the bedridden condition, what will help is this higher taste and nothing else. It's only when a devotee, has this higher taste, that is attachment to bhakti, And when he's relishing bhakti, you know, then, you know, he can live the body very, very nicely. But then if the taste is not there, if the relishment is not there of bhakti, oh, you know, it will be a tough time. Always, you know, cribbing about, you people are not coming and talking to me. Oh, my, you know, my, all my jaidad, my treasure, no, all my property, what are you doing with that? I'll not sign here, I'll not sign there. All nonsense will happen at the time of death, in the last moment. Very nicely in the olden days movies they would show, right? The person is dying and he's telling, us jagah pe chupa ke rakha hai. What? All the money and all the treasure is there at that place. And sometimes people would ask also, do you want to tell anything now at the last moment? And it's very clear, you know, what they're asking for. That's what, you know, is the course of action in this world. But then when it comes to devotional service, it's very clear that at the time of death, in the last few moments, it is expected that devotees are completely fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord, relishing the beautiful form of the Lord, relishing the chanting of the holy names. This is what is expected. And if this is not done, then life will be miserable for a devotee. Entire life, a devotee has spent doing this and that and whatever, everything possible. But then, if this taste is not developed, this higher taste for devotional service, then you know, it will be tough time in the last moments of life. And Prabhupada is so clear. Another lecture I was hearing, Prabhupada was telling that in Australia, there is a court case going on one of our temples. And they have the opposite party. They have given a lot of money, you know, to the advocates. And my disciples were asking, what to do, Prabhupada? Because we don't have money. So they were asking me that, what to do, Prabhupada? And there Prabhupada says, no problem. You're chanting outside. Go inside the jail and chant. No problem. So here Prabhupada's expectation is very clear. Get that taste for chanting. Because anywhere you go, be it you know, outside the jail, inside the jail, heaven, hell, wherever you're going, the thing that you're expected to do is chant the holy names of the Lord. So that taste has to be developed. That higher taste has to come. Yes. When I heard this for the first time, I was laughing like anything. Very casually he says, you're chanting outside, chant inside the jail, what's the problem? They'll keep you for some time, they'll release you after some time. This is virakti, this is detachment. When someone develops this higher taste, now tell me what attachment will be there in the jail. This is what Prabhupada's expectation is. So when the higher taste is developed, you know, in devotional service, automatically, you know, all this, you know, attachments to this material world, and Prabhupada says, dead material things of this material world, no, we will not be attached to. We'll look for something higher. This is virakti. And pure devotees, you know, who are nitya siddhas, who are witnessing the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who just close their eyes and they enter the Krishna Leela, or, you know, they open their eyes and still they're able to see Krishna, the Nitya Leela going on. Tell me, why will they ever think of anything nasty thing of this world? That's why Yamanacharya, he says, whenever I think of having sensual pleasures, I spit at the thought, my lips curl, you know, in distaste, he says. So when sadhakas, you know, read that, it feels like, arey bapre, such amazing thing this is. It is amazing because he has attained Krishna. He's you know, he's a pure devotee. He has tasted the beauty of Krishna. So he's able to make that statement now. Yes. So anyone, you know, who wants to get naturally detached, you know, this is what is the goal. Tasting the sweetness of the form of the Lord, as Prabhupada says in this purport. So five qualities we have seen. First one, nama gane sadaruchi, that is attraction to the holy name. Pritistad vasati sthale, attraction and attachment to the pastime places of the Lord. Third, asaktistad gunakhyane, that is eagerness to describe the qualities of the Lord. Fourth is manashunyata, pridelessness. And fifth one, virakti, detachment. Let's go to the sixth one now. Shanti, shantihi. Now, this word people would like outside, shanti, shanti. But shanti of the spiritual world is much more dangerous than the havoc of material world. Let's discuss this. Shanti basically here means perseverance. And Prabhupada gives a definition, undisturbed even in the presence of various causes of disturbances. And here he gives the example of Parikshit Maharaj. What an example, Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj is cursed to die in 7 days. Immediately he gives up his kingdom. Just in a kopin, he comes out of the kingdom and he comes on the bank of Ganga. And there, you know, he makes a statement. He says that may the curse fall upon me. But then he has a request. He says, at the last moment, he's requesting all the sages who have assembled, at the last moment, please chant the holy names of the Lord so that I can realize his transcendental qualities. Look at Parikshit Maharaj's mood. You know, he's not at all disturbed by the curse, you know, that he has got. But his goal is fixed. No, his goal is fixed and he's just aspiring to attain that goal. And even when such a great disturbance has happened in his life, but he is not disturbed, completely fixed. And the prayer all, see, if Parikshit Maharaj would have prayed to all the sages that please free me from this curse, all the great souls were present in that assembly. Easily they could have done. But what is Parikshit Maharaj praying for? That please chant the holy names of the Lord at the last moment, you know, so that I can realize the transcendental qualities of the Lord. This is called as Shanti. No, even in the great disturbance, this personality is completely fixed in devotion. I was just meditating on this point that when it comes to our material life, you know, it's always disturbing. Always disturbances will be there. And what is the reason? Because we are there in the world called Ashashvatam. Krishna says Ashashvatam. Ashashvatam means temporary. And temporary means changing. It will keep changing. Changing means disturbance. All the time, some or the other disturbance will be there. Now, in this disturbance, if someone is saying that, you know, I want to become stable, how can we become stable? How can we become stable? I think this was in Delhi airport. For the first time I saw a mobile floor. Mobile stairs I had seen. Mobile floor, first time I saw. Now, people are so lazy, they don't want to walk that much also. They're standing on that. Arams, it's moving. If suppose someone says he's standing on the mobile floor, and he's saying that, I don't want to move. Then why are you standing on mobile floor then? You're standing on a setup which is moving and you're saying that you don't want to move. We are there in this material world which is disturbing and moving and changing all the time and we are saying, I want to remain stable. How is it possible? You know, sometimes devotees say, sometimes devotees spend a lot of time, they also say, and sometimes new devotees also say, that Prabhuji, I have to first become stable and steady in my material life, then I'll practice bhakti. As soon as I hear this, the only thing I do is laugh. You are there in Ashashvatam world. Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. You want to become stable and then start practicing bhakti. You know, nice joke. Thank you for making me laugh today. So this is not going to happen. And I don't think I have to describe how disturbing this material world is. You know, take the current scenario, Corona. Corona came and disturbed us for the entire year. Can you imagine, today is 27th of December and we are locked down from last one full year, you can say. After Gaur Purnima, if I'm not wrong, you know, we are there inside. And now Corona is invited, you know, his relatives also, I heard. They've arrived in UK. Very soon they'll visit all the places and we'll be the hosts. Now tell me, How can, you know, we live in this material world? I mean, how can we stay steady in this material world? But one thing is very clear, that we are staying in an unsteady world. Our material life will always remain disturbed. Either the disturbance will come in the form of the external setup changing. The disturbance might come in terms of, you know, monetary status. Disturbance might come in the form of health, you know, some disturbance when it comes to health. So disturbance will be there, some or the other way. Like in this entire Corona season, we'll never forget this. So many devotees died. So many devotees, so many people died, and in that, you know, we had some of our devotees also, you know, dying. So it's such a disturbing situation, And the most disturbing thing is, you cannot touch the body of the person. The body will be dumped somewhere. Such a disturbing situation. Yes. Now such disturbing situations will keep coming and going. But one important thing that is needed is the person, if he's able to get fixed up in bhakti and become steady in bhakti, now then he can be steady. He can be steady within, even when the external situations are changing. So this point of becoming stable within, steady within, is very, very important. And how will this happen? Only when we advance in Krishna consciousness. When a devotee advances in Krishna consciousness, and when his only goal is to attain Krishna, his mood is, Puri dunya bhaad mein jaye, koi parwa nahi, I want Krishna. Let anything happen. And that's what I was seeing, the mood of devotees during Corona. No need of watching any news. No need of doing anything. Not even willing to go outside. They're happy in their own world. Zoom is there, laptop is there, webcam is there. I read a post where it was like, I don't know if it was a real one, but Zoom, the management of Zoom had written this. Don't know what these people are doing for 3 hours on Zoom. What the devotees of ISKCON are doing for 3 hours continuously on Zoom. So, devotees, when devotees advance on the path of bhakti, they're happy sitting at one place. They're happy chanting their rounds. They're happy, hearing, shravanam, doing shravanam and kirtanam. So when they're so stable, even if anything happens outside, they're okay with it. Okay with it. Only thing that they will search for is, where is my bead bag? That's it. If bead bag is there, and I'm talking about those advanced devotees, bead bag is there, they're happy. Wherever they are, as Prabhupada said, inside jail or outside jail, happy, happy. In Russia, right, this happened where they were put in the jail and some festival was there. And these crazy devotees, they're celebrating festival inside the jail, no paraphernalia. And they were acting. Oh, now I'm decorating the place. Nothing is there in the hand. I'm decorating the place. Yes. Hey, you get more garlands I want to put here. This table has to be cleaned. Here the deities will come. Here this has to come. Hey, you immediately start kirtan. Looking at these crazy people, they left them. You go out. You'll create havoc inside the jail. You go out. This is called stability. This is called stability in life. People feel that, once we get more money, once my health will be good, once I get a lot of possessions, I'll become stable. But that is not stability. Our karma is not stable. We don't know what karma we have done. And not just past life karma. This is like 100 lifetimes behind something we have done that might manifest now. And how can we say that I'll remain stable? So this is a foolish statement to say that I'll become stable, I'll become steady, and then I'll start practicing bhakti. Whatever situation we are in, somehow or the other, we have to get fixed up in bhakti. Getting fixed in that goal that I have to attain Krishna this very lifetime and march towards that. Now I have to serve Krishna in this entire life, after this life, and life after life, and life after life. This is the goal of a devotee. The devotee don't expect anything else apart from this, right? So this is shanti. Even in the disturbing situations, the person is undisturbed, completely undisturbed. So this is the quality of a pure devotee, where he doesn't get disturbed even in the most critical disturbing situation of his own life. So these are the six qualities that we saw. Nama gane sadaruchi, asakti stad gunakhyane. Nam gane sadaruchi, then priti stad vasati sthale, asakti stad gunakhyane, and then mana shunyata, virakti, and shanti. Now,
Shanti.
Next one is three more to go. Asha Bandha, great hope. Now, when it comes to devotees in general, when we are practicing bhakti and when we hear about the goal that we have to attain Krishna, have to go back, come back to Godhead, it is very high, very, very high. In fact, in this material world, if someone is aspiring to crack some civil exams, one of our youth boys, he had called for asking this. He was telling that, it's looking very huge. Prabhu, what can I do? What should I do? I was thinking in my mind, Arey, this is nothing. I'll tell you later what is the goal of life. That is very huge. So when the goal is so far, so high, so it needs, a person should have this asha bandha, a great hope that yes, I will be able to attain Krishna this very lifetime. This great hope is very much needed. And Rupa Goswami writes a very beautiful line, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says that I have no love for Krishna. I could connect with whatever he was saying. I have no love for Krishna. I have no love for hearing and chanting. I was feeling very nice. No bhakti. Not born in a nice family. Yes. And then he says, oh Gopi Jana Vallabha, oh lover of gopis, I simply wish that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet. And this hope is giving pain because I think myself quite incompetent to approach the transcendental goal of life. So here a devotee has a great hope that I want to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he understands that I have no qualification. One of my favorite verses where Raghunath Das Goswami is speaking to Nityananda Prabhu. Raghunath Das Goswami wants to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wants to stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First time Raghunath Das Goswami went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go home. You cannot stay here, go home. And then he went back and Nityananda Prabhu came. Chidadahi festival happened. And after that, Raghunath Das Goswami approaches Nityananda Prabhu with lots of humility. And he says, Adhama pamara mui hina jiva dhama mora icha hai pana chaitanya charana. He's saying, Adhama, I'm the lowest of everyone. I'm the lowest. Adhama, sorry, I'm fallen. Adhama, pamara, I'm the most sinful person. Adhama, pamara, mui, I'm hina. I'm the most abominable one, untouchable, hina. Jivadhama, the lowest of all the living entities. Now he has put all the qualifications. But still, now look at the audacity of this person, spiritual audacity. Mora Ichcha Hai, all these things are there, but Mora Ichcha Hai, Parna Chaitanya Charana. Still I want to attain the lotus feet of Krishna, lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Same thing with Akrura. Akrura is traveling from Mathura to Vrindavan, and Akrura is thinking, oh, I'm going to meet Uttama Shloka. And he's saying, Uttama Shloka, the personality who is glorified by all the wonderful shlokas of the Vedic scriptures, how can he give, how will he give his audience to me? I don't think this is possible. I'm the most fallen. I'm so fallen that I was serving, this most fallen personality, Kamsa. Now, how can I get darshan of the Lord? And then in the next verse he says, but he's Achyuta. He's Achyuta, he'll give his darshan. No, he's merciful. He'll never come down from his position of giving mercy. So in this way, we see that these great personalities have shown an example that we should have that great hope. Sometimes devotees say that, Prabhuji, attaining Krishna this lifetime is not possible. Huh? Not possible, pata hai sabko. Kisne bola nahi? Kisne bola attain karne wale? But then having that hope is very, very important. That yes, I want to attain Krishna. Yes, this hope is very, very important. Agar starting mein hope chhod diya ki nahi humse na ho payega, then it will be very difficult, right? This hope is very, very important that I want to attain Krishna, and at the same time we need to understand what is our qualification. I have no qualification, yes, but still I want to attain Krishna. And Prabhupada says, anyone who understands the position of the Lord and understands the position of his own position and his own qualification, the only thing that he can do is pay repeated obeisance to Supreme Personality of Godhead in utter humility. And Prabhupada writes this in one of the purport. Amazing line. So this is, with humility, understanding one's own position, he's begging and praying to the Lord, and having a great hope that, yes, Lord will accept me one day. Lord will accept me. This is Asha Bandha, great hope to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 7 characteristics we have covered. Nama. What is the Nama Gana Sadaruchi, Priti Stad Vasati Sthale, Astakti Stad Gunakhyane, then Mana Shunyata, Virakti, Shanti, and Asha Bandha. Last 2. Samutkantha, eagerness to attain Krishna. Prabhupada has written a very, very amazing line which we can meditate on. Prabhupada writes, this is for all the devotees who are very eager, all the devotees who want to attain Krishna this lifetime, only for them, Prabhupada writes. Eagerness is the price for achieving success in Krishna consciousness. And the next he writes, one has to develop intense eagerness for attaining Krishna. Intense eagerness, Prabhupada writes. Intense eagerness. So this eagerness or hankering for attaining Krishna is very, very important in a devotee's life. We have qualification or we don't have qualification, it doesn't matter now. What matters is, Am I hankering to go back home, back to Godhead? Am I hankering to attain Krishna, serve Krishna? This matters a lot. And when it comes to hankering, no one can compete with the hankering of the topmost devotees, the Vrajavadus, the gopis of Vrindavan. No one can compete with the hankering what they have. So when Krishna left the Rasasthali, gopis sang Gopigeet. And it is described that Krishna just left that place for a few moments. I was hearing in one class, few moments, no, Krishna left them. And they went crazy. They went crazy. Shukadeva Goswami is describing. Next chapter after that, he says, Iti gopyaha pragayantyaha pralapantyascha chitrada ruruduho suswaram rajan krishna darshana lalasa. That few moments, you know, when they couldn't see Krishna, they went crazy, crying and crying and crying. Ruruduhu suswaram rajan. Suswaram. And when they were crying, it was not a silent cry. Swara is loud. Suswara is very loud. Very loudly they were crying for the Lord. Suswaram rajan. For what? Krishna darshana lalasa. Hankering for the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now this hankering, obviously that is very high, and it will be mayavad to say that we have to get that hankering. But then the hankering to attain Krishna, you know, to take darshan of Krishna, to serve Krishna is very, very important. If that hankering is not there, then we will not be able to attain Krishna for sure. This hankering is the basic qualification, Prabhupada says. Basic qualification to attain Krishna is hankering. And Vritrasura is telling what sort of hankering we should have. He says, Ajatapaksha iva mataram khagaha. He's saying Ajatapaksha, Pakshi or bird, you know, who has not yet developed the wings. Now hear this, you know, it's very amazing, very, very relishing. And this is called as Chatushloki of Ritrasur. He says, Ajatapaksha iva mataram khagaha. Those birds, birdlets, who have not yet developed the wings, who are still there in the nest, they always eagerly wait and call out for the mother when the mother has gone out to get some food for them. Now just imagine the eagerness, you know, of the birds, of those birdlets. They're crying out loudly, you know, for the mother. That eagerness one should have. But here the acharyas comment, but this is okay. This is not very great. Why? Because they're expecting something, that my mother will get something. So this hankering is okay, not that great. Then next line, then Vritrasura is telling the next line. Maybe Vritrasura knew Acharya is going to comment like this. He says the next line. He says, Stanyam yatha vatsatara shuddha arthaha. Then he says that this hankering, he's talking about the hankering, and he's saying the hankering, he's talking about the hankering of calves. So I was fortunate to see this, or else I would have not understood this line. When I was young, we had some cows. I mean, my grandmother had some cows on maternal side. So, and calves were also there. So when the cows would go out for grazing, and when they would come back, and the calves would be tied somewhere else, they would go crazy. The calves would go crazy. It will be almost like they're going to break the pole and, you know, go towards the mother. That intense eagerness would be there, you know, as soon as, you know, they see the mother for drinking the milk. Now here, again, the acharyas say, this is also not that great. Again, there's an expectation here. So there the expectation was, my mother will get something from outside. Now here the expectation is that my mother will give something from her body for the milk. Then the next line he says, Priyam Priyaiva Yushitam Vishanna. Now he's saying, this is the highest thing he mentions. What is the highest thing? Now this is in the Vedic times, not, I don't know if it's valid now. So in the Vedic times, when the husband would go out for some business or for some work, and when the wife is alone at home, she would be hankering for the association of the husband. Intensely hankering for the association of the husband. And every single moment, you know, would be very, very difficult for her to pass. And here, this hankering is what is expected. And Vritrasura says that manoravindaksha didrikshatetvam. It's very difficult to understand the devotee demon on the field. So this devotee demon, he is saying, manoravindaksha didrikshatetvam. Oh, I have this intense hankering for taking your darshan. And whom is he talking about? Arvindaksha, the one who has lotus eyes. So this is the hankering, you know, that is expected, you know, in devotees. Any activity that we are doing, if this hankering doesn't develop, all our Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc., if it is not able to give us this hankering, then, you know, it's just a waste of time, right? This prayer, you know, has to be offered to the Lord that, you know, I have no hankering. Now you have to help me out. You have to help me out. And Prabhupada has given everything to us to develop this hankering, this intense hankering. Everything is there. We start with the morning prayers. And, you know, the last line that we are offering is, Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada navati kutopi. No, this is the hankering of a devotee where he's saying, oh Gurudev, no, oh Prabhupada, only if your mercy is there, I'll be able to advance on the path of bhakti and attain Krishna. Without your mercy, kuch nahi hoga mera. Very clear. With hankering, you know, these prayers are written. Tulasi Aarti, hankering. Again, Mama Nivedana Shuno Shakira Nugata Karo. And before that, the line it says, what is that line? Mora Yei Abhilash, Bilash Kunje Diyoas. This is the hankering of these devotees saying, no, this is my only desire. I have no desire, O Tulsi Maharani. My only desire is, you know, you give me, you know, some little place in Vrindavan somewhere. Yes. And please engage me in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And please help me to be always dipped. Sri Radha Govinda Preme Sada Jaina Bhasi. Now please help me, please bless me to be always dipped in bhakti. Every kana of time I want to be dipped in bhakti. And then in Guru Puja again, we are eagerly chanting that, what is that? Aha Prabhu Koro Daya Deho More Pada Chaya. Look at the intensity of these devotees. Obviously, we dance at that time. That's a different case. Mangalarti, we dance. Guru Puja, we dance. But the mood of these bhajans are so intense, where it's all about hankering. Every single prayer is all about hankering. And with hankering, these prayers are written, you know, by these devotees. And this hankering is expected. And this is what Prabhupada has done. Prabhupada's expectation is, TK, you know, I've given these prayers. Now it's your turn. Now get that hankering. This book distribution also, oh, the hankering of complete dependence on the Lord is automatically developed. This is what we understand. When we go out, I cannot distribute books. You know, going and talking to people and then trying to convince as much as possible. But then, you know, nothing is happening. Automatically, you know, that hankering develops. Oh Lord, Krishna Shakti Vyam Nahi Tara Pravartan. I agree. Please shower your mercy. So this hankering to attain Krishna is very important. And if we have an intense hankering, you know, devotees aspire for burning all the anarthas, right? So if one develops intense hankering, this intense hankering will burn all the anarthas. Yes. Because all the time, the devotee is hankering to attain Krishna. You know, where is the question of anarthas manifesting? All the time, he's just thinking about Krishna. You know, how can I attain Krishna? I have no qualification. No, will I die just like that without attaining Krishna? All the time a devotee keeps thinking about this. Now, where is the question of anarthas coming and troubling? Right? So this intense hankering is needed that I want to attain Krishna this very lifetime. Prabhupada says, go back, come back to Godhead this very lifetime. Another statement Prabhupada writes in third canto, finish Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. Now, I took it in a way of we have to attain Krishna this lifetime. I don't know what Prabhupada meant there. Finish Krishna consciousness this lifetime. Maybe Prabhupada is saying, enough of all your sleeping and chanting, you know, finish of all that in this very lifetime. Yes. So yes, this is very, very important. That is hankering, developing hankering for Krishna. And it is not easy. I'm sure, you know, devotees know this. But we have to pray intensely to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that, yes, I want to develop this quality. Please help me. And the final quality, avyartha kalatvam. That is not wasting a single moment. And Prabhupada puts it in the other way. That is utilizing every single minute or every single moment in service of the Lord. Here Prabhupada writes, always busy. A pure devotee is always busy thinking about Krishna in the mind and externally serving through his body. This is called avyartha kalatvam. Every single moment. And here Prabhupada gives some analysis of Brahma's life and Manu's life. So Brahma's lifespan is 311 trillion 40 billion years. And what is Manu's lifespan? So Brahma's one day consists of 71 Manus, no, 14 Manus, and one Manu has got 71 Divya Yuga. And one Divya Yuga is all the four Yugas combined together. Now, please do the math for yourself. So like that, they've got 71 Divya Yugas they have with them. But still, Prabhupada is writing here that Brahma and Manu, both of them are fearful of death, and so they practice bhakti. And when it comes to us, Prabhupada writes 60-80 years. And when I was reading that line, I was thinking, yeah, 60-80 years, but take a lot of time is there. Look at this. Yes, where Brahma and Manu, you know, they are very much eager that we will die anytime. And anytime, huge lifespan is there, but still they are like, oh, life is very short. Now we have to practice bhakti. And they practice bhakti with that mood. So this is a very important realization that devotees need to have. That is, life is very short. Bomb kabhi phatega. Yes, any time, we'll be asked, ki ghar khali karo. Yes. Leave this place, leave this rented house. And Govinda Das, he mentions this in his bhajan. Bhaja hure mana Shri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare Durlabhamanava Janama Satsange Tarahue Bhava Sindhure. So here he writes that, O mind, Bhaja hure mana Shri Nandanandana. Just worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh mind, just worship the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Abhaya charanaravindare, those lotus feet, they will give abhaya, fearlessness. The next line is very important, which is in context. Durlabha, this life which we have got, Manushya Janma, is durlabha. And in one of the verses in Bhagavatam, it says, su durlabha, very, very rare, very rare. And when it comes to us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we have got a very, very rare opportunity. We have got human form, and somehow we have bumped into some devotees, and we have got connected to ISKCON. We have got connected to this wonderful Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, which gives the topmost destination, that is Goloka Vrindavan. Now, it is up to us that how much we want to utilize. In this short span, intense bhakti is needed. Intense bhakti, very, very intense. And thinking about the ultimate destination, here we have the photo of Haridas Thakur leaving the body. The question we can ask, will I get the same opportunity? Looking at the lotus feet of the lotus feet or lotus form of the Lord or face of the Lord and giving up the body. Intense bhakti is needed because life is extremely short, extremely short. We never know, Corona's relative might come and knock our door. Anything can happen anytime, and devotees have to understand this. Very, very important. Very important. And we see all our acharyas are offering intense prayers. Intense prayers. One prayer, I've written many. Now it's already 10. So I'll just chant this and end today's discussion. Yeah, a few more points and we'll end. This is by Narottam Das Thakur. Aha Prabhu Nanda Suta Vrishabhanu Suta Juta Karuna Koro Baro Narottam Das Koi Rakhe Nathali Horanga Pai Tuma Bina Ke Ache Amar. So here, sorry for the bad throat. So here, Narottam Das Thakur is saying that, O Nanda Suta, O Krishna, O Srimati Radharani, Vrishabhanu Suta. Now he's saying, Karuna Koro Ei Baro, please shower your mercy onto me. And what is that mercy he's asking for? Natheli Ho Rangapai. Please don't push me away from your lotus feet, O Lord. Tuma Bina Kiya Che Amar. Who is there? Who is there apart from you when it comes to my own people? You're the only one. You're the only one. Can you imagine? We have gone through so many lifetimes. Bahunam janmanamante. Prabhupada starts the purport with that. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavan maam prapadyate. So after many, many, many lifetimes, a person surrenders to Krishna. Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Jeev. After going through entire Brahmanda, finally a person gets Bhakti Lata Beej. We have got that. And now, if we are not able to attain Krishna, oh, that's a very, very, you know, very, very bad situation. So yes, this prayer is very much needed that, oh Lord, oh Prabhupada, you know, you have got us so close, so close. But then I have no qualification. I have no qualification to push myself to spiritual world. But you can pull me. So please pull me. And you know, I have no qualification. I might commit so many offenses at your lotus feet. And here Narottam Das Thakur very nicely says for all of us that this is what we have to pray, that please don't push me away from your lotus feet. Amai charan chada karona. Ohe dayal Nityananda. Ohe dayal Gaura Sundar. Amai charan chada karona. So this prayer, you know, is very, very important, you know, when it comes to us, that, you know, please don't take me away from this bhakti. You can pull me to spiritual world. You can pull me to yourself, to close to you. I myself, you know, I'm a Bhadrajiva. What can I do? I'm bound. How can you expect me to do anything? Oh Lord, you know, please do it for me. Please pull me. So in this way, you know, this intense prayers, you know, our acharyas have given. And how can we become intense in devotional service? By staying with intense devotees. When we are there with intense devotees, automatically that intensity will come. Automatically. Yes. Back in Vrindavan, you know, November when I went to Vrindavan. So after walking without footwear, a lot of nice marks were there on my feet. So every day we would try our best, you know, to go before the altar opens of Prabhupada, 4:10 Mangalarti. So I think after Govardhan Parikrama or something, it was very difficult, you know, to walk. So you know, we started walking from there. And I was walking and I was knowing it's time up and I had no strength to go, you know, fast. And then I saw three devotees were running, you know, and they were running towards the altar. And looking at them, automatically some strength came. I also started running from there. I was just thinking, the only thing that we have to do is just choose a very, very fired up association and be with them. Even if we are not interested, just imagine, you know, we are walking on a road. We are lonely. And there are five people just running. We look at the, are, kya ho gaya? Bhago. And suppose, you know, we are walking on the road. Many devotees are walking. And suppose, you know, we are very much tired of this bhakti and all this. Now we say, chalo piche jate, let's go back to material life. We start walking back on the path. Every single devotee will ask, Prabhuji, kya ho gaya? Kaha ja rahe? Prabhuji, kaha jana hai aage? So it's very important to have a very, very fired up devotee association. When we have that, whatever we have spoken till now today, all that will manifest automatically. And all glories to Prabhupada that he has given us such a wonderful association in every ISKCON temple. And the Bhakti Center is extremely fired up all the time. Every now and then, some of the other events, some of the other program, and every devotee is nicely engaged. And all the ones who want to get engaged, every devotee is nicely engaged. Yes. So yesterday, as I said, is the last Sunday. Three more days to go for the English calendar to end 2020. 2021 will start. I was thinking that what analysis can I do for this year? Maybe I can just share that so that other devotees are interested. They can also do such analysis. So I was having some questions for myself that how was this year? So did I develop hankering for attaining Krishna this life, this very lifetime in this year? Did the taste for bhakti increase this year? How many devotees did I hurt? And did I ask forgiveness back? Did they forgive me? With what mood did I do all the services in this 2020? Did I get closer to my spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada this year? Did I get closer to Krishna? Did I get closer, you know, to those people who are guiding me? And did I get closer, you know, to this wonderful path of bhakti, which can deliver me from the path of birth and death? And finally, how many people did I help, you know, to get closer to Prabhupada and Krishna? Yes. So we can meditate. I know these are different questions which I would like to meditate on. And these questions can, if we have not answered this question or these questions having negative answers, you know, Krishna is giving another year, 2021. So our resolution is this. Our plan is this. So we don't have any plan in any year. Only plan is, I want to attain Krishna. That's it. This is the plan of us and nothing else. So with this, I would like to end today's discussion, wishing everyone a very happy English New Year. Our New Year is Gaur Purnima. But no problem, we can. We just need chance to become intense in bhakti. So wishing everyone a very, very happy New Year. And may this New Year be very, very intense in bhakti for all of us. And may all of us get engaged completely, all 365 days, every single moment in service of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.